You know, we'll talk about some of those things here in a few moments, you know, but our hope of heaven is one of those things that keeps us motivated. And I'm looking forward to one day being reunited with our loved ones. God is faithful. But thank God that we're able to come to the house of the Lord even here tonight and worship Him. Amen. Go in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of James here tonight. And I'm going to preach to you on the purpose of trials. The purpose of trials. And this is some familiar reading to you. No doubt you've read these things before. Maybe some of you could quote these things. But with the Lord's help here tonight, we're going to preach about them and trust God to help us. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
James chapter 1. James chapter 1. And we're going to read starting in verse 2. And we're going to go down to verse 6. And I've got several points here tonight. I don't want to make you nervous, but in total, I have about 13 points. But don't fear. That don't mean I'm going to exhaust every one of these points. Amen. Some of those are shorter. And if you've learned this about preachers, I've listened to a lot of ministers. I love preaching. I listen to preaching. I listen to all sorts of, during the week, I listen to sermons and teachings. And I've noticed this, usually the preachers spend longer on the first two points, and then the rest of them kind of get grazed over. But every now and then you'll meet a man that'll spend just as much time on each point. There was a man by the name of Brother Mark Hatfield. He used to be an evangelist when I was younger. And Brother Mark Hatfield was known for his long-winded preaching. You thought Brother Woods was long. I remember Brother Mark, his son Noah is Noah Hatfield. Some of y'all may know Brother Noah Hatfield, but his dad, Brother Mark, he would always have an extra battery for the microphone. And when he would really get to feeling it preaching, he would say, "Noah, go get me another tape," because they'd be recording, and he would fill up two tapes. And I remember he preached a revival for us when Brother Irvin was pastoring my grandfather's church years ago. And at the end of the week, when you got the series of sermons, it was 15 tapes in 5 nights. And he'd get up there and say, "I've got a 15-point message on faith," and he's going to give it 2.5 hours. But I'm not that way. You've learned that, amen. I'm wise enough to keep it within 45 minutes. This morning was kind of short. I looked on the internet, 21 minutes. That's rare for me. But nevertheless, we will preach with God's help here tonight. James chapter 1 and verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally and abradeth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed." I want you to notice there in verse 2, it talks about that word temptations. Now, if you've ever studied the book of James, what I like about the book of James, it's a very practical book. As a matter of fact, they've even called it the Proverbs of the New Testament, because it's very practical, has some pithy things it kind of throws at you, and there's some neat things that you can, if we were teaching through the book of James, there's different tests throughout the book that he kind of talks about for believers. But what I want you to notice there, in chapter 1, you're going to find that in verse 2, it uses the word temptations, and later on in the chapter, it talks about temptations as well. But if you study this book, you'll understand that it's talking about two different kinds of temptations. The temptations that are mentioned there in verse 2, and some updated translations, I guess you could say, they put trials there, because that's what the reference is to in this section of the scriptures right here. It's talking about trials. It's talking about testings. Amen. It's talking about the things that we go through in life. Amen. This is not talking about sinful temptations. Now, we do understand there are sinful temptations. And I will tell you this, sometimes when you are being tested and when you are in a trial, there is the potential for you to give in to sinful temptations, which we are not to do. But what we want to focus on here tonight is the trials, and that's what we want to talk about, the purpose of trials. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come to you again tonight, I do thank you, God, as a pastor, for your help, Lord Jesus. It's been a difficult week, but God, I have felt your strength here today. I felt your help here in this church. And God, I know, Lord, that you've given us a year together in 2019. We have faced trials. I know we have. God, but also we understand that we're going to face more things in the future. Help us, God, to see the purpose in these things, to have perspective. And I would tonight that you'd anoint us. You would help us in the name of Jesus, minister in this congregation in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. First thing I would have you notice here tonight in this, in what we're going to talk about, the purpose of trials, the first thing I would have you to notice this is that James is letting us know that temptations are going to come, or trials are going to come. It is amazing when you talk about trials and tests. It's amazing when you look at the lifestyles of different people. It's amazing. No matter how old you are, there's something that you're going to face. Now, it's amazing when we look at our little children. I look at my children there. What they consider to be a trial of life is usually not getting a toy they want, or they can't get something to happen they want it to happen that way. Sometimes when you look at teenagers, their trials and their temptations may be completely different. And then you get to be young men and young ladies. But then you get to be in your older age and you face different things in life. Throughout your whole entire existence as a human being, you are going to have trials and temptations. And we understand here what James says is this, is that the testing of your faith is going to come. Brothers and sisters, I know you know this already, but wake up if you don't know this. There's something coming around the bend, your direction. You are going to go through something in life. As a matter of fact, in verse 12 of chapter 1, we didn't read this. It says, blessed is the man that endures temptations or testings after he has tried. He's going to be rewarded. Amen. So we know for a fact that we're going to have trials, but we also can understand for a fact that there is a reward if you endure the temptations and the trials of life. Now, I wish I could say there was a way to avoid them, but to be honest with you, it wouldn't even be healthy to do so. There's times in life you need to go through some things, and I need to go through some things. Even though those things are not pleasant, even though there's things that we'd rather avoid in life, God allows us to go through things, and I call them need-be trials. You need go through some things in life as it reveals so much about us and also reveals so much about the God that we serve. So the question would come up about this. We know that they're going to come our way, okay? We got that established, and I don't even have to tell you that, because if you lived long enough on this footstool in this fallen world, you face something in your life. Amen. You know they exist. But another question may be asked about this. How can we make it through the trials of life? We know that they're going to come. That's inevitable. They exist. We face them. I face them, as we've talked about a little bit here this morning. What you're facing may be different at this time, what you're going to face. But how can we make it through the trials and the testings of life? A few things we can point out here this evening is this. First of all, James will let us know we need to have a joyous attitude when it comes to our trials in life. The first thing that helps preserve us in our trials, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you go through diverse or many temptations or trials. Now, this is kind of an interesting idea, because joy in testings usually is not something we like to put hand in hand. We would like once again to avoid. We would like once again to escape, to get out of jail easy card. We understand that. But understand this. What James is saying is this. You need to have a joyous attitude. Now, that is a challenge. And I'll be honest with you. That's something you're not able to do within your own ability. I can't do it within my own ability. It's not like you get to a certain level of intellect or rationale where you say, well, I'm smart enough now. I figured this out. I think I'll just smile, grin, and bear it. No, this is supernatural joy. And I wish we had time, but I could take you into the discourse that Jesus gave, the upper room discourse, when he says, look, I want your joy to be full. Amen. He wants you to have peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's supernatural. It's not so much subjective, like I'm reaching down and trying to discover something in my own strength and ability. No. It's objective. It's something outside of me, in the sense that God is the supplier of this joy. If I stay hooked up to the vine and I stay in Christ, I have access to a supernatural joy that when I'm facing something in life, I can get down and pray, I can read God's word, and I can stand there. And even though he's not even really saying here that you got to sit sit there and smile and like say, I'm not going through nothing. I'm not. Some people, once again, kind of feels this is what it's saying. No, it's talking about God sustaining joy. I find joy in this fact that God knows what He is doing. There's some things in life, once again, we'd rather avoid it. There's some things in life I wish I could take away from you, and you could, maybe some things you wish you could take away from me, but God knows what He is doing. And I can go into the trials of life. I can walk through the valley of the shadow of death, and I can know there is a shepherd, and I can have joy in knowing that God is with me, and He'll never leave me, and He'll never forsake me. As Brother Matthew said this morning, He is with me to the very ends of the world and this age. When David Livingston, the great missionary to Africa, when he was standing at the graveside of his wife, he said these words right here. He said, God said He would be with me even unto the ends of the earth. He's in a foreign country, his wife's being buried, and he said, I know that my God is with me. You can find joy even in the midst of your trials. The second thing I would have you understand is this. The second thing is this. Not only do you need to have a joyous attitude, but you need to have an understanding mind as well. He says in verse 3, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So you need to know this. The test is producing something. When you're in the middle of a trial, I'm in the middle of a trial, I've got to understand that God knows what He's doing. He's doing something in this. He's working something in this. I need to know this. I need to understand this. The enemy wants to come to your mind and says, look, you did this, or this is the reason this is happening. And the devil would love for you to question God's goodness and God's purpose and God's will in your life. But you can go into this knowing this. When you as a believer are going through a trial of life, you can know that God is working and moving in your life. You can go on a third point I would make about this. Not only a joyous attitude and not only an understanding mind, but you ought to have a submissive will. Let patience have its perfect work in your life. One of the most difficult things for us when we're going through a trial is when we allow God to work. You know, it's the amazing thing about trials, usually you can't do too much about it. Your back is against the wall. If you could take your hands and fix something, you would. But there's seasons in life, and I've been there even this week, when you know you can do nothing about a situation. Your hands are tied. Your mind is weary. Your body is tired. But when you lay your head down on the bed at night, you might as well lay your head in the hands of the Almighty and say, God, I understand this. I know this. I submit to this. God, work your will in my life. Produce something in me, God. Produce something in my wife. Produce something in the church that I pastor. Produce something in my family. Produce something in my ministry, God. You're working something, Lord, and I surrender to your hand. God, that's the purpose of my trial. I can have a joyous attitude. I can have an understanding mind, but I also can have a submissive will and let God's patience work within me. Patience in the King James Version is a beautiful word because we all need patience. But patience is also tied to perseverance. You know, to be patient means you got to wait on something. Now, we all know we don't live in the most patient society. I mean, we honk horns, get frustrated when something don't go just the way we want it to go. It's amazing, even, and I don't want to chase too many rabbits here, but nevertheless, it's amazing when you study the mind of the average American. We're so impatient. It's like our day is ruined if our phone all of a sudden says on YouTube, buffering. And it's like, oh man, I can't. What's the slowest internet in the world? Man, I can't believe it. And it gets so mad and mad and mad. Guess what? You got to understand life isn't always about getting it done. You can't always touch it and it pop right up. You can't always purchase enough internet speed. When it comes to reality of living, patience is something we need. I know that's been depleted in our minds, but God once again resurrect the patience and perseverance that even when I'm hurting, even when I'm bleeding spiritually speaking, even when I'm hurting, God, it may take a couple of weeks. It may take a month or two. It may take a few years. I don't know. But in your trials, God is working something within you. Fourthly, I would say this. Not only should we have a joyous attitude, an understanding mind, and a submissive will, but also we should have a believing heart. He says, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. Now, this is not asking God to help you with algebra homework. You know, some people say, wisdom, oh, God, help me to understand science and all this. It's not what it's talking about. This is talking about wisdom concerning your trials. You ever been there? Well, you're going through something, but you just didn't understand why you were going through it. So God tells us that we can come to Him. If any man of any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Once again, I know I'm reflecting on some things in my own life this week, but even this week, with the tragedy in our lives, I've asked God for wisdom, and God has been faithful to provide that wisdom in my mind. When I've been wondering in my spirit, God says, look, this is who I am. This is what my word says, and this is what my spirit testifies of. When we're going through trials, there's a purpose. You can ask God, but notice what He says. When we ask for this wisdom, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of a sea driven with the wind and tossed. It talks about being double-minded here. When you go to God, believe that He is who He says that He is. Believe that He's faithful. Believe He's going to work things out. Go to prayer with a believing heart. It's easy for you to get down and pray with a doubting heart. Brother Derek, how can I fight doubt? Well, number one, read God's word. I'm telling you, brothers and sisters, we can't overemphasize putting this in your heart. Because when you go through the valleys of life, the very first thing your heart should reflect on is not what you've watched on TV. It's not what you've seen on a news channel. It's not what you've seen in some emotional, sappy movie that you watched one time. But what is thus saith the word of the Lord? When your heart is overwhelmed, can it find a verse in the Bible to hold on to? When your spirit is overwhelmed, can you get down and pray and be in the presence of God? God can help you with that if you believe. So what I want to challenge you with here tonight is this. This is going to get into the second part of this message. I want to give you the purpose of your trials. A few different things here. This isn't exhaustive. Number one, I would say the purpose of your trials is this. Trials come to test the strength of our faith. Now, once again, I mentioned this morning, but you know, we make some pretty bold proclamations at times. We as believers tell other people, believe God and His faithfulness. God is faithful. God is good. Now, we can read all throughout the Bible about all these promises. But if I was to ask you here tonight, what is the strength of your faith? And I believe this tonight. Many of you would say, Brother Derek, I feel good about my faith. God is good and I feel good. And I know I will trust God. But I'm telling you right now, the reality of that is bared out or fleshed out in your life when you go through something. It's in those moments. It's not the trials so much that make you. It is the trials that reveal what is in your heart. You better prepare yourself before you get in that valley, just like a boxer better prepare himself before he gets in a boxing ring. You better prepare your heart before you get the diagnosis. You better prepare your heart before the tragedy strikes. You better have God's word hidden in your heart before the storms of life come upon you. You've got to understand the trials of life show you the strength of your faith. Now, I was reading some verses about this. 2 Chronicles 32 and 31 says this, referencing Hezekiah. God left him to test him that he might know all that was in his heart. It's referring to Hezekiah there in 2 Chronicles 32. But this is not referring to God trying to figure out what's in Hezekiah's heart. God is omniscient. He knows all things. But there's sometimes God wants you to discover what you're made of. And if you have any grit to your crawl. And he wants you to understand. If you really believe what you say you believe, brothers and sisters, I'm a firm believer that yes, you can overcome and persevere in trials. But unless you go through something in life at times, you don't know how strong your faith is until you prove this thing and that it's real and the realities of this. When you go through something in life, God wants you to come out on the other side that you might know that He's faithful. Now, there's many different ways people respond to trials. Like right now in your own life, in my life, when trials come. Here's response number one, and I will go ahead and tell you this is the bad response. Maybe if a trial came into your life, If you're one of those people that maybe you're shaking your fist, questioning God, you're wondering why it's happening. You're fretting all the time and worrying. Your anxiety, you have anxiety from morning till night. That's a good indication that you need your faith to be strengthened. And maybe in that trial, what God has done for you, He's revealed to you, look, you need to work on this. And even though God can bring you through it, He'll let you know maybe you get a bad attitude in your trials. God right there's wanting you to understand, look, deal with that attitude. Maybe you get impatient. God wants you to deal with that moment and say, look, you've been impatient in this trial. Deal with that. So God has a way in trials of revealing things about us. But brothers and sisters, there's another way to respond in life. If on the other hand, you're going through a trial and you find yourself resting in the Lord, you find yourself with your life placed in His care, you're letting Him bear the burden of it, then God's letting you know at times, look, I'm proud of you in the sense, look, you've been proven. God wants you to understand at times you can pass the test of your trials. I'm going to be honest with you, I hadn't always passed every test like I needed to. But a few times I got impatient. But I learned this, that any time in a trial, God has revealed things about me that I needed to work on. And God has helped me work on those things. But I'm glad to tell you this week, God's helped me. And I don't say that, good Lord knows I'm not up here saying I've done something myself. I don't feel that. I feel pitiful. I felt almost sick this morning before I preached. And I'm not just saying that. I needed God's help this morning. I don't feel like I'm up here some Superman and somebody's got everything always figured out. No. But I'll tell you this week I've been tested and tried. And my wife has been tested and tried. But I feel that God has looked upon me and said, son, you've come through this. I do feel God's revealed some things in my own personal life. I want to be more careful here. And I don't want to be so presumptuous here. But God showed me some things about myself. But God can give you a good report like Hebrews chapter 11. No matter if God does something miraculous or if you go through a valley of the shadow of death, you can have a good report. Trials have a purpose. It shows you the strength of your faith. Secondly, we must recognize that trials come to humble us. Now, I know this almost seems paradoxical because you said, Brother Derek, I thought it was to show us how strong our faith was. Well, in the opposite, it may show you how much you need to be more humble and how weak your faith might be. Now understand this, this is closely connected to the first one, but a little different. When trials come in our lives, we realize, look, I have to have God's help. Do you ever get there? I love what the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, the unique thing about that is in the book of 2 Corinthians, we know that the Apostle Paul is defending himself against all these false apostles. They're saying his ministry is not legitimate. So the Apostle Paul is one of those guys, he don't want to really brag about anything he's done. I mean, but this guy has been into the third heavens a little bit, and I think that's pretty unique, don't you? We would all look at the Apostle Paul and say, man, if any man had a reason to brag, if he wanted to, he would do so, but not the Apostle Paul. He didn't want to be boastful in this. He's opposite of the false apostles. He's not trying to prop himself up. But look, just as well as the Apostle Paul lets us know, look, I've been into the third heavens. I've seen things that I cannot utter. The Apostle Paul is also humble enough to share something else, even though he's had a heavenly experience. He says, but guess what? I don't want to seem boastful here. I also have some earthly experiences. There's a thorn in my flesh. There's a messenger of Satan that's been sent to buffet me. Thrice I prayed that the Lord would remove it. But as we said this morning, what the Apostle Paul learned was this. He said, unless I should be exalted above measure, he let them know because of the abundance of these revelations, there was given me a thorn in the flesh. And he's letting us know, look, that even though I've had some great experiences, God has seen fit to allow this thorn in my life, this thorn in my flesh, that it'll keep me humble. Brothers and sisters, the thorns of life will keep you humble. Just when we think we maybe have reached a certain level, all of a sudden you come back down to earth and you say, ow, there's a thorn there. Now what I want you to notice is this. This thorn may have been in his flesh, but it wasn't in his spirit. God never intends for the thorn to touch your spirit. He only wants you to understand the thorns are there to touch that flesh and that body and the weakness of that mind. So thank God for that. So it, not only that, it humbles us. Thirdly, this is what I've learned about trials. Trials wean us away from worldly things. When you're going through a trial in life, it really brings things into perspective. It doesn't matter what kind of house you have, what kind of car you drive. You don't care if you go to your favorite restaurant or if you get to go on vacation. I would even say this week in my life, going through what we've been through with the loss of our child, me and my wife had all sorts of plans what we're going to do this week, but it came to this. I didn't care about a present underneath the tree. I didn't care about going to Christmas Town. I didn't care about going out of town to see family. I didn't care about the lights. What did I care about? I needed help. I was in a trial. Trials bring perspective. They bring perspective. Doesn't matter if the doctor tells you that you're leaving this world. Doesn't matter how big your house is. Doesn't matter how much money you have in the bank. You read about all the different wealthy men, and when they leave this world, I promise you, they're not taking none of it with them. None of it. Millions of dollars that are left. Bank accounts full, mansions that are abandoned. Why is that? Because the trials of life, what should have worked in their life, and they should have realized that, look, it's all right to have money if it's used for God's glory. When we go through something in life, let it bring the perspective. It doesn't matter about anything else. God, help me. Look, I look at the world. I know there's some good things that God allows us to have, but in my trials, my focus is on God more than anything. Fourthly, trials call us to our eternal hope. Trials of life causes us to long for heaven, does it not? Now, this is amazing because, you know, we're often asked, you know, in this world, people talk about dying. Dying is something that's very common. At funeral homes, stay busy. All the year round, funeral homes stay busy. People are always, the graveyards are full. And I know people oftentimes say, Brother Derek, you can be kind of, you know, pessimistic sometimes, but I'm going to let you know right now, if you don't go by way of the resurrection, you're going in the ground. You're leaving this world. It's just the reality of it. Now, I don't want that for you, and I hope it's no time soon, and who knows, you may attend my funeral before I attend yours. I'm not going to race you to get there, I promise. But the reality is this. This is what it is. Yes, you're redeemed spiritually, but you live in this body that's yet to be redeemed. So understand this. In this life, we begin to desire our eternal hope. Trials of life causes us to long for heaven. The more that we suffer in this world, the more that we want things to be made new. So suffering causes us to have a disinterest with this world. I'm a firm believer. You know, we have precious people in our lives. But I'll tell you right now, if my mama and daddy leaves this world, and my wife leaves this world, and all my friends begin to leave this world, I think I might look up and say, God, you know what? I'm getting more and more. I'm ready to go and meet you and be with everybody. Isn't it amazing that when the most precious people in your life leaves this world, your heart longs for heaven? Where the most precious person in your life, the Lord Jesus Christ, dwells and will be there with you. So the trials tend to show us the bankruptcy of what it is to live in this world. Once again, thank God for the good things, but my heart longs for heaven. Fifthly, and hear me, I'm moving along here. I won't be extremely long. Fifthly, trials reveal how much you really love God. Don't they? Let me just break it down to you how I view it here this evening in relation to what I have faced this week. I have to answer this question. There's no doubt in my life, no doubt in my mind and what I feel in my heart and my life, that little baby that left this world on sometime between December the 18th and December the 23rd, I love that baby. I promise you I love that baby. I've wept enough tears about it. But I'll tell you right now, I love my Lord even more. Now, I know God allows me to love them both. I can love the Lord and love the baby. But I'll tell you right now, when everything is said and done, there's not one desire in my heart to say, God, I think I'll give up right now because you took that from me. Or, God, maybe you allowed this to happen. I don't feel that one bit in my spirit. No, no, no. I look at God and say, Lord, I love you more than anything, God. Take this whole world, but give me Jesus. Take the gold and the silver, which I ain't got none. Don't worry. Take the little bit of stuff that I have. Lord, even if it comes down that it's just me and the Lord, don't take the Lord from me. I tell you, trials and life reveal how much we love God. Once again, I talk about bold proclamations. I've said this from this pulpit. If God was to take everybody from me in my life, He's never done me wrong. He's never done me wrong. He's faithful. And if I ever get to a place, and if you ever get to this place, and I don't foresee it, but God knows, if somebody passes away in your life and you say, I think I'll backslide now because that person died, it proves that you didn't love God like you said you loved Him. Doesn't matter what you face. Love God with all of your heart. Love God with all of your heart. There's another place, a sixth point I would talk about here tonight is this. Trials teach us the value in the blessing of God. Now, there's sometimes in life, how many knows you can take God for granted? You ever done that? Not even that you're an atheist and you're sitting there and say, God, I don't love you and I don't care, but you can take Him for granted. In trials, you tend to focus back on God like you should. Now, I often say this, I cannot imagine my life without God. I mean, my life would really be meaningless and purposeless. I would have no purpose. I would be empty. But our trials that lead us to suffering, and there our suffering purifies our view of God. But in our trials, if we embrace what God is doing and working in our lives, we can know God better and more intimate than we ever have before. The Apostle Paul would say that I may know Him in the power of His resurrection. But notice what he says, and in the fellowship of His sufferings. Now, how many likes good old fellowship? Over food, we usually like fellowship pretty good. But we don't like fellowship over sufferings just as much. You know, it's easy to talk about a lot of things over a good steak. But when what's being served on the table at that moment is heartache and tragedy, what we can understand is this. There's a fellowship in that moment. There's a fellowship. Jesus, if anybody ever suffered, Jesus Christ suffered. He was righteous. He was sinless. He was holy. But He was done wrong. So when I go through something in life, don't let me look to the world. Don't let me look to this. Let me look to the cross and understand there's a high priest that can relate with me. There is fellowship in sufferings. I heard a song this week and it, man, it just broke me down. It'd been ashamed if you saw me. I mean, I wept like a baby, and I told my wife and I said, if you ever heard that song, and she's heard it. There's a gentleman by the name of Joseph Habedank who writes some beautiful songs. He wrote this song called Now I Know Him. I want to read the words to you. First verse says this: I have known Him in the best of times, when every day was nothing but sunshine, and His blessings were my daily bread. It was true, I knew Him then, and yet. And he goes into the chorus. Now I know Him as my shelter in the rain. Yes, now I know Him as my shepherd through the pain. He is dear when life is easy, but in heartache so much more. And now I know Him like I've never known Him before. Brothers and sisters, how true it's that. Look, I know you can know God when everything's going well. And I know that you can know God when there's always sunshine and when His blessings are your daily bread. But when you're going through trials in life, you learn that He's your shelter in the rain and He's your shepherd in your pain. Yes, I've known Him when His life was easy, but in heartache so much more. Now I know Him. I can know Him more even when I suffer. Number 7, suffering also enables us to help others. I've shared that with you this morning. When you go through something at times in life, do you know that God may be crafting a testimony into you to help somebody else? Now, we all know what it is. I'm a firm believer. You know, one of the great challenges is when you're a young pastor. I took this church at 26. Somebody might say, well, what can a 26-year-old tell me? And I would say, well, I can tell you what God says. And if you believe God's word, that's good, right? But how many also understands when you go through something in life, you can say what God says, but also say, I know what you're going through. I know what you're going through. You ever been there before where somebody came up to you and says, look, don't understand it all. God's good. I know that helps you. But doesn't it help as well when somebody comes to you and puts their arm around you and say, look, God's word is true. We trust it. But I want to let you know I've walked down that road before and God's brought me through it and God's helped me. God may be crafting a testimony in your life. Now, I know that's difficult to accept sometimes because it's difficult to go through those things. But even if you think of Simon Peter, and this isn't a perfect example because Simon Peter fell at his own volition and his own decision. But I like what Jesus said to him, Simon, son, behold, Satan has desired to sift you as wheat. But he went on to say, I've prayed for you, and when you have turned around, when you get this right, strengthen your brothers. When you go through trials at times, God will have you turn right back around and go to somebody and say, look, I've been there and God is going to see you through. Another point I would make this evening is this. Trials come to develop endurance. Now, I want to spend just a moment on this and I promise you I ain't got much more to say. I got one more point and we'll close. You face something today. So we've got over like 12 points and you don't even know it. Look at that. I don't know if you've been counting. Or can you keep up? Amen. But notice this. Do you know that sometimes, let me put it this, God will never put more on you than you really can bear in that sense? But do you know God has to prepare you in life for greater things that you're going to face up the road? Once again, I said this morning, what me and my wife have faced this week, I am not foolish enough to say, look, this is the only thing we'll ever face. Wouldn't that feel good? Look, I'll never have to go through anything again. But that's not the case. God allows you to go through something. And when you go through that, it builds endurance. And when He builds that endurance, there's something else that may be up the road that you don't even know about. That God said, look, if you didn't go through this right here, when you got to this up there, you might not make it. Because God wants you to know right here that I'm your comforter. Because when He gets up here, He may want you to know He's your comforter and provider. He may want you to understand this right now, that He's your peace. Because when you get up here, not only are you going to need peace, but it's going to be something else you're going to need as well. I like the old song, and I don't know who sang it, and don't worry, I'm not going to try. Lord, don't move that mountain. Just give me strength to climb. Why is that? Because there's other mountains up the road that if I don't climb this one, if you don't help me here, if I don't trust you now, I might not trust you later. So don't give up now in your trial. Don't abort the mission right now. No, God, do the work in my life because other things are coming. Other things are coming. Last thing I would point out is this, and it's very simple. And this is probably the simplest point in the whole message is this. Trials simply cause me to trust God. Simple. But how many knows in this life you may not ever understand why you went through something until you get there on the other side? You know, we like to have answers. And I would like to tell you that you always could find an answer on Google, but you can't. I would like to tell you that you always could be able to call up somebody or find a book, some sort of book that would give you some sort of rational answer. But I'm going to tell you this right now, there's some things you will never understand until you get on the other shore. But when you get on the other shore, God will point you back and say, look, this is the reason you went through that. This is the reason you went through this. So in this message tonight, the conclusion we want to come to is this. My brethren, count it all joy. How can we count it all joy? God is working in your life. God's doing something. There's a book and several books this woman have written, and her name has slipped my mind. She's a lady that is paralyzed. Some of you may remember. There you go. Erickson. She's wrote several books. And if you ever heard her testimony, she dove into a shallow pool at a young age and caused her to be paralyzed her whole life. I was reading something about her one time, and I've shared these words with you here in this pulpit, but I'll remind you of those. She's in the hospital. She's paralyzed, and the doctors come to her and say, "You'll never walk again." And she said these words in her book. She says, I prayed to the Lord, and this is what she wrote down. "Lord, don't let this hospital become a prison, but let it become a gymnasium for my soul. Work your perfect will in my life." That woman since then has had cancer several times. Recently just got over another bout of cancer. And I watched her speak at a conference. And even though she's paralyzed and she can barely do anything for herself, and she's been through cancer, and there's a beautiful part in the book that talks about her relationship with her husband, and she feels like she tells her husband, "I feel so useless, I'm sorry." And her husband tells her, "I didn't marry you because I married you because I love you." But you see the faithfulness, you see God working. How can that happen in their life other than God's grace is sufficient? Brothers and sisters, I don't claim tonight to feel like I'm, once again, that we have some sort of natural ability. But I will tell you this, no matter what you face in life, no matter what I face, God's grace is sufficient. Stand to your feet if you would. Well, another year is behind us almost. We've got a couple more days. 2019. Do you know a lot of people didn't think we'd make it this far? How many already thought that rapture would take place? Come on now. You know, they think we would have flying cars. Everybody would have walking robots. I don't think we're even advancing too far. It's like we're degrading, in my opinion, in many areas. But I'll tell you this. If God allows us to tarry another year and another year after that, and if God allows me to live till I'm 80 years old, that's a long ways away, isn't it? If God allows me to live that long, I know over that span of time, I'm going to face something again. And in your life, you'll face something. You know, I think one of the things as a parent, we hate to even see our little children. You know, we don't like them to scrape their knees. But I know there'll come a point in time that even as a father, if God allows me to live, my children to grow and develop, and there'll be some point in time in life, I'll look at my children and have to encourage them and let them know God is faithful. I don't want to give up now. I don't want to throw in the towel. God has a purpose in every trial. This message I preach to you tonight, I've been reading verses this week, scrambling in my mind, finding purpose. And I came to James chapter 1, and I found comfort in that. And I hope you will as well. Find you a place to pray this evening. Ask God to work His perfect will. Thank God for 2019 as you come and find a place to pray. Ask God to keep you in 2020. God's able to do it. No matter what you face, commit yourself to the Lord. Once again, don't wait till you get into the valley to try to develop yourself. Develop yourself now. Ask God to help you. God's grace is sufficient. His grace is sufficient.